The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
In this ancestry.god about Saul and David, that I think have some contemporary things for us that we can pull out of it. It's a great struggle. It's a struggle between good and evil in many ways. It's a great struggle between the will of man and the will of God. And it's a struggle between two very powerful men. Saul gets a lot of bad press, and he deserves some bad press, but he wasn't all bad. He did some things, and David acknowledged that, that Saul had done some good things. And David, although he's an icon for good, he had his moments. All right, he had some things that he shouldn't do. There are no perfect people in the world. They probably figured that out by now. And in the scriptures, certainly the people in the scripture, God, to use an old phrase, shows us these wonderful men and women, warts and all. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly about them all. So we can read about them and study and gather some ideas from them. All right, so that was good, Jim. I managed just to talk long enough for you got it up for me. I didn't have to wait. So a scripture we're using about our ancestry.god. I got to turn this on, I believe. There we go. Matthew 1, 16 and 17. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. So, and the reason I selected that, because it shows you how much God is interested in all of these generations of people. And we have covered quite a bit of turf. We talked about where we came from with Adam and Eve. We talked about Grandpa Noah, the big boat builder. We talked about the father of Israel, Abraham, Father Abraham. What a powerful, bigger than life person and events he had. And then we spoke about the prophet of God, Moses, out of Egypt, and then Moses, life in the wilderness. And man, what a story that guy is. I mean, he is just an amazing story. And then last week we spoke about David selecting a new leader. And today we want to talk about David, his rise to the place of being king. So David, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14, this covers a whole lot of territory in the scriptures. David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Zephah. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. God did not give David into his hands. If you read the Psalms and you read David's writings, you will discover that he had his moments. Sometimes he was, hallelujah, God is here. Sometimes, oh God, where are you? I mean, so he was a human being just like you and I, and he went through that. The story of David is about a man living in the world and God intervening in the affairs of men to take care of him. Life is filled with struggles, and how we face those struggles shapes the course of our lives and the kind of life you're going to have. You will have trouble. You have trouble. Life is filled with trouble. David had trouble. Saul had trouble. Moses, you know, the whole bunch had troubles, and you have troubles too. But how are you going to face these things? You have job troubles, family troubles, failure troubles, disappointment troubles, world event troubles, king troubles, and last but not least, election troubles. All right? When I see people running for office, I wonder, God, are you there? David Duke running for Senate? Give me a break. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, don't vote for David Duke. He's a racist. And we think, don't ever vote for a racist. I voted for Edwin Edwards when he was running, when David Duke was running against Edwards. I don't like Edwin Edwards. I never voted for him. I got a million reasons why I don't like him. He's a crook, he's a thief, and he's done a lot of terrible things. But when I had no choice but him and David Duke, I voted for Edwards. And I've never forgiven myself for it, but I will not vote for David Duke. No way, no how, ever. So, whether we are kings or servants, we have struggles. You know, sometimes we think just because people have positions of power, just because they have a lot of money, that they don't have any problems. It's only us peons at the bottom that have problems. Trust me, I've been around wealthy, I've been around powerful people. Everybody has their problems, okay? Everybody has their situation that they have to deal with. The manner of life is shaped by our faith in God and not in our circumstances. I'm going to say that again for you. Our manner of life is shaped by our faith in God and not in our circumstances. Circumstances are just events that we go through. It's like going on a vacation. You're going to see a lot of different things. If you drive from here to California, why you would do that since they invented the plane, I don't know. But if you wanted to do that, you're going to see a lot of different things. You know, I like to go to California. It's the way I used to travel out there. It was at 35,000 feet. You know, I said, wow, there's a desert down there. Wow, there are the mountains. I just wanted to get where I was going. I didn't want to see all that stuff. But if you decided to take a covered wagon and go, you're going to see a lot of things. And some of them's going to be vistas that are beyond imagination as you see them. And some things you're going to see are going to scare the tar out of you. All right? It's just life, folks. Just where it is. And the sooner we come to that and realize that we can't let circumstances change who we are. I don't want to repeat myself because I've said this so many times, but one of the things that I had in life and one of the circumstances was my boating accident, and people didn't want to talk to me because they didn't know what to say. I don't know whether they expected some kind of one-armed monster to show up. You know, it's me. I haven't changed a bit. It takes me a little longer to do stuff, but I'm the same guy I always was. I really haven't changed a bit because of that. Tiffany, my daughter, said it best when she saw me in the hospital, and I said something to her that just the way I talked to my baby girl, and she said, "My daddy's still in there. My daddy's still in there." See, because my life is not shaped by circumstances. Winds blow me in a different direction, but my life is dependent upon God and God alone. See, for me, it had to be this way. For me as an individual, I needed that Jacob and God on the ladder moment. I needed that bigger-than-life event in my life. That's what I needed. So God gave me what I needed so that I could go forth and do the things that he's called me to do. So for me, I'm still stuck back in 1972. I lived there. And I never forget what happened to me on that day when Christ came into my life. When people worried about whether they're saved or not saved, whether God loves them or doesn't love them. I've never had that problem. I never have that problem. Because I know who I am and what happened to me. That is my stability in life. And I faced some tragedies and I faced some joys. But Morris, the guy who got saved on August 8, 1972, has never changed. I'm the same. That's something inside of me. And we need to live that way. You need to get back to that moment. You need to get back to who you really are. You see, you are dying on the outside. This outward man is perishing, but the inward you is doing better every day. You see that kind of picture in the words of John the Baptizer when he said, "I must decrease." And the truth is, he was decreasing that he might increase, and he is increasing. Christ in you, that hope of glory, is increasing in you. As he is, so are we in this world. We have the righteousness of God. We need to keep letting that bubble through whatever we're going through. If they tell you you need surgery, just do it. If they tell you you're healed, just do it. Whatever the circumstance, Paul said, "I have learned that in whatever circumstance that I'm in, that I'm okay." You can't let circumstances control your life. We gather information. Trump is ahead by 10 points. Trump is behind by 10 points. Hillary's ahead by 40 points. Hillary's behind by 40 points. The FBI is going to prosecute. The FBI is not going to prosecute. The FBI is going to prosecute. You know, those are just knowledge information that gets poured into our cranium. And we get a lot of information. We learn about what your kids are doing or not doing. You learn about your health and, you know, good or bad. You learn about your job, your money. That's all knowledge and information. So you don't want to be shaped by that. What you want to be shaped by is the knowledge of God. And I usually do it like this. You need to read your Bible. Well, you do need to read your Bible. But there's a reason you need to read it. Because it's filled with knowledge about who you are and what God is doing. And you see over and over and over and over again how God rescues people, how sometimes God does not rescue people, but in every and all circumstance, it says, and God caused these things to happen. God was there. God was shaping it. You need to know that God cares about you. From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb till the day they plant you in the ground and beyond, God knows about you. He knows you're going in and you're coming, you're going out and you're coming in. He knows your waking hours, your sleeping hours. I like David, but he had to learn this. He said, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Will you watch over me during the night hours?" He needed somebody to watch over him during the night because Saul was trying to kill him. How would you like to be running from the law? And the law had the long arm of the law. I mean, Saul was after him. He wasn't going to put him in prison. He was going to put him in the ground. That was the plan. How'd you like to wake up every morning on the run from that? But you need to know, and David knew that. David knew that God was with him most of the time, and I'm going to show you in this sermon, which I'm not going to finish today, so don't worry about it. Well, that's why, because I'm watching the clock. They told me I've got 4 minutes left, all right? So, but knowing, and then you need to energize your faith, and you need to act on that faith by believing. You've got to believe it. Remember the old story about the guy who strung a cable across the Niagara Falls, and he was had a wheelbarrow. And he would walk. This happened eons ago, and he would walk across the thing, and everybody was so impressed that he could do that. And he said, "I think he put a bag of potatoes or something in it and washed it across there." You know, And so when he got finished, he said, "How many of you believe that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and take it to the other side?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, you can do that." He said, "And who will be that person to get in the wheelbarrow?" I see, knowledge and believing, all right? But what you need to do is be the believer and say, "Yes, I'll get in the wheelbarrow with God because I trust him to take care of me in all situations." Knowing God, read the Bible, know it, but then believe it. Believe it in your heart. Trust him. I used to tell Pat all the time when I come home, when I had my business, and had a lot of rough times and things I had to deal with. And Pat would say, "Well, how are you doing?" I said, "Well, I can't eat me. You know, that was my big thing. Nobody would eat me, you know. I had a very low bar of what I thought success should be. You know, we need to realize that this world cannot devour you. You can let it if you want in your mind and in your spirit, but it'll shape who you are. You'll either be a optimistic person believing and trusting God, or you'll be a defeated person living under the circumstances of the life that you're in. You choose. Choose you this day who you will serve. Choose you this day who you will believe. Will you believe your circumstances, or will you believe God? David had to deal with that. He had to deal with that very issue. The question is, why did God allow Saul to chase after David? Excuse me, sir. Can I have your attention for just a moment? Remember Samuel? He came to my house one day. He didn't dot me with oil on my forehead. He poured a cruse of oil over me. And he said, I was going to be king. Why am I living in this rat hole cave? Why am I man? Why am I suffering? Why don't I have good fresh bread? Why don't I have good food? Come on, God. Get with the program. I am the king. Why are you letting this happen? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because Saul was after his hide. That's why. Forget about God for a minute. Just the circumstances of life. Saul didn't like David. He wanted to finish him off. And Saul was selected by man. He got a check marked by his name, which is God anointed, and let Samuel anoint him as king. But that's what they wanted. That's what they got. Pretty soon, 9 days from now, there's going to be a selection. And whether it's good or bad, we're going to live with those circumstances. Now, what are you going to do about that? Oh, Pastor Morris! Hillary! That crooked Hillary is now the President of the United States! Oh, my God, the Supreme Court! Oh, my God, the babies! Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God! If you want to do that, knock yourself out. It's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. I'm not going to be worried. You might come in rejoicing. Donald Trump is the President of the United States! Well, when you say that, remember that half of the people in this country are going to be on the other side crying, oh, my God, David! Donald Trump is the President of the United States! You know, that womanizer, you know, that rich fat cat, you know. So, take your pick, friends. Where you want to live with that? For me, on the night, I'm going to get up. I think that'll be Wednesday. I think I'll go to breakfast with the Wednesday Warriors like I do every Wednesday for the last 25 years. And I think I'll enjoy some fried eggs. I like my fried eggs over medium. No grits, all right? I like my wheat toast. And I like it buttered. I think I'll have that. I think I'll do that. And I'll listen to the laments, and I'll probably join in. I'm not perfect. So I'll probably say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we did that. The reason Saul was after him, Saul had failed in many different ways. But he didn't fail in all of his ways. He threw a spear at his son, Jonathan. I mean, this is not your dad you want to tell your friends about. You know, he wasn't a model of what a good dad he ought to be. And remember, Saul was tormented by evil spirits. There are evil spirits in the world. Remember that series we did about spiritual battles and what's going on? I mean, that's going on. So there's a lot of that. Don't let the evil spirits come torment you. No. That's what was going on. So the big question is, contemporary question, why do bad things happen to good people? I'm a good person. There's none that's righteous. No, not one. The Bible says that's just knowledge. Okay. But you ready for this? We live in a fallen world. This is not a redeemed world. They're going to have problems forever and ever and ever until the Lord comes back and takes care of things. All right? That's what's going on. We live in this world, and the only way to get away from that is to croak and get out of here. But as long as you're alive, you're going to have to deal with the things of the world. Good things happen to bad things happen to good people because evil exists in the world. And evil possesses, controls, and does things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. That's why bad things happen to good people. And last but not least, bad things happen to good people because we make bad decisions. Stupid, don't raise your hand. Of course, we all have. And we pay the price for that. I've got my share. So that's what's going on. Now, my time is up. I'm over time, but that's all right. That's why I'm the pastor of the church. Next week, God willing, we'll learn about what David learned in the wilderness and what he discovered and what changed him. But I want you to walk out of here today encouraged, not discouraged. I want you to be built upon your most holy faith. I want us to have fun today. It's our anniversary, and it's of the church. We're 17 years old. Thank you, Fran. I will not do this again. I always get it wrong. I never did well in math, all right? So I can't remember what our anniversary is. Fran is a math person. She knows, all right? Last year I had it wrong. I knew for sure I had it right this year. Wrong again. It is our 17th anniversary, all right? 17 years we've been doing this. And the other thing is Pastor Appreciation Day. I feel appreciated. I want to continue to be appreciated. And you better appreciate it because I'm getting old. All right. And the fact that I'm still going, thank the Lord for it. I have good strength. Just to quell any rumors that may be running around, I'm not quitting. I'm not retiring. I'm not giving up. I don't have any place to go. I can't stand the preachers that I know in this town. I've heard them preach. I don't like what they preach. I'm the only guy that I agree with most of what I say. I don't even agree with everything I say, all right? So I'm not going anywhere. I might try to take a little bit more time to go visit my family, you know, more so than I've done. I might do some different things to make it easier. But I'm not going anywhere. What's that? What'd you say? I go stay with God. No, I'm happy where I am. The church is still here. We can still pay the bills. As long as you give me enough money to pay the bills, we'll pay the bills. You can come alone. Amen. We'll be here together then, Joe. So with that said and done, I am going to shut up. Nobody say amen. And I'm going to turn this over to Jim. Jim's in control now.